Boy, it's good to see some of your faces back in the congregation. I'm feeling the lack of some of those that aren't here tonight. I have to admit, a little struggle for me. But I am glad for those that we do have. And Kara, special welcome. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. And what a wonderful reason to come. Jonathan Edwards. May he live up to his name. Jesus is the reason we're here tonight. I can't imagine another reason why you would take the middle of your week. Some of you, after a long, hard day work, with a list of things yet to do at home, I'm sure, you moms, dads, I know our list is fairly long at this time of year, too. Well, Dad, you and I, brother. Young men, that should speak to you the importance of your following hot after God. This is very sobering. The fact that we look tonight, and Tyler said it earlier, brother, where are the men? May you, by the grace of God, grow up to be young men of a mind who is after the Lord. A life lived for His sake and not your own. Not for money, not for fame, not for recognition, not for honor, but to the glory of God. And that is a prayer over you. I wish it were a prophecy, but it is a prayer. And I trust God will speak. Ladies, pray for the church. Well, the title tonight is Our Time to Pray. And it is simply more on prayer. Before I begin, I would like us, if we could again, we did this Sunday, and I'd like us again, if we could, just to kneel in our seats there, if you can, and let's call upon the Lord. Father, tonight we're gathered together in the name of your dear Son, in the name of our Savior, your Christ, our Counselor, our Deliverer, our Redeemer. We're here before you in the name of Jesus, your Beloved. And we come, Father, gathered in this place, expecting to hear from you, hoping to meet with you, lifting our hearts towards you that we might be instructed in this Christian life. Our nature is all against us tonight. Our upbringing is all against us tonight. But we have this blessed gift. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Tonight we gather together in this place, in this building, and an architect looking in, he just sees a storefront in a downtown, old downtown. The townspeople see a Johnny come lately, a curious gathering of people. And I pray tonight that with the eyes of our heart, that we could behold the Alpha, Jehovah, the eternal self-existent one, the God of all heaven, the creator of all things, the giver of all life. I ask tonight that your presence would settle down hard upon us, that a reverential awe would fill our hearts as you fill this place, that as Solomon prayed before the dedication of the temple, that you would come and bless us with your presence, that a fear of you would settle upon our hearts. Oh, not the trembling in a corner, but a cowering within indeed that would keep us from sinning against you. And teach us tonight your language. Teach us how to commune with you. Teach us to have understanding with you. Teach us to bring to you our desperate need in our desperate hour. Teach us to lift our voices in praise. Teach us to pray in faith. Teach us to worship. Show us tonight the entrance that we have to you through the shed blood of your Son Jesus, as he died on Calvary's cross for our sake, that we might come tonight, that your will might be fulfilled. Fill us up with your presence, Father, and I pray even now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need an unction from heaven to bring forth your word. Oh God, speak to me that you might speak through me. Anoint my lips and anoint the ears of the hearers raise up in their hearts an expectation, and may their expectation draw from me the gift that you have placed there. O God, lest you come, it's vain tonight that we're gathered, and lest you take back and push back the works of darkness, it's for nothing that we've come. Oh, I pray, Lord, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you, that we might have this place and time for the exercise of spiritual things in holiness. May your Spirit, your Holy Ghost, fill our hearts and fill this place. Guide us, lead us, and teach us according to your will and your word, that we walk not after apostasy, that we walk not after heresies, but may we hear you, Lord. Speak unto your people tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel a need in my own heart to continue in prayer. So I'll ask if you would pray for me while we go. The other day I told you that sin will keep you from praying and praying will keep you from sinning. I want to give you another way to look at this, because it is true. A sinning man will pray. A sinning man will pray. But a praying man won't sin. He'll find it very, very difficult to be in communion with the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, the giver of all life, and to practice things that are a crime against him. It is not an issue of if you pray enough, you'll stop sinning. It is an issue of character. If your character is the character of a sinning man, you can pray, but you're going to go right on sinning. But if your character is the character of a praying one, you're going to stop sinning. We can't control our basic nature. We're born with a sin nature. We're born under the curse. Adam and Eve partook of that which was forbidden, and we're born of that flesh. Yet we are born again of an incorruptible seed, of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And he has given to us this new nature that is able to change the character from that of a sinner who prays to a praying man who won't sin. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, and I'm not going to try to balance everything tonight. But I want you to hear what God says about that. If your character would become the character of a praying person, all of a sudden, the hard things aren't desperate things anymore. They're just hard. Temptations no longer own you. Oh, you'll still be tempted. Don't misunderstand. You will surely still be tempted, but you don't have to walk after that which is tempting you. Because your character by your new nature has been changed. And it takes time with him. It's a process. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 39. Psalm 39. Let's read this prayer. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end in the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Stop there. As we talk about prayer tonight, I'm going to talk mostly about our active role in prayer. But I want to begin with this simple thought, that there is a
passive role in prayer. There is a place of coming before God and musing. The implication here, while the fire burned, I muse, while the fire burned, speaks to me of a city asleep, of a household that's quiet. I don't know how many of you have ever sat in front of a crackling fire, but I find it conducive to thought. While I was musing, the fire burned. The watches of the night passed away, one behind the other. I didn't have an agenda. I just came seeking the presence of God. And in seeking the presence of God, as I saw Him, as I beheld Him, the question comes into my mind. Who am I? What is my frame? How should I think of myself? And the prayer, when you consider God, is, Lord, teach me how frail I am. Not how good I am. Not how exalted I am. Not how many important things I have to do for the kingdom of God. Show me, Lord, how frail I am. I want to address again when we should pray. We'll look at some examples from Scripture. There is something, brothers and sisters, about meeting God first. How many of you start your day with the devotional time? That's first on your list. Okay, praise God. How many of you notice a difference if you miss a day? It's dramatic. If my day does not start with the Lord in prayer, I tend to be a little more cross. It's reality for me. I tend to find myself a little less patient, a little less joyful, because I'm a little less plugged into the source of all joy and patience. You don't have the Holy Spirit. How can you live according to the Spirit? Well, I won't spend over much time on this then. We know that Jacob rose up early in the morning, Genesis 28:18, and took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He gave his devotion to God first. Samuel's parents rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord in 1 Samuel 1, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And we all know the reason that Hannah was before the temple praying. So it was parents together did it. Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. He had a petition to bring before God. Job, in Job 1, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Parents, have you followed Job's example in morning prayer? I would recommend it to us. David again, awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. And Jesus, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. A great while before day. There is an attitude of prayerfulness that comes with the morning prayer. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Psalm 119, verse 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. In Luke chapter 2, talking about the old widow woman of 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God day and night, fastings and prayer. Cornelius prayed to God always. Paul prayed night and day, exceeding that they might see the face of those in Thessalonica. And there's something about planned prayer. Regular planned prayer. Now, we talked already on Sunday about the ejaculatory prayer. Prayer that just flows out from you. Situational. Praise God, it's good to see you. Bless the Lord for this wonderful day. Those are all good prayers. Oh, Lord, give wisdom unto the doctors that are treating that person who just went by in the ambulance. I don't know how you pray, but that's a valid prayer. You suppose God knows who's in the ambulance? I think He does. We can pray for them. There are times, I'm sure it happens to you also, where you're moved to prayer in the midst of your day. You're busy going about your business, doing what you need to do, and all of a sudden it just comes upon you to pray for this or that, depending on the need or the situation. You might pray for a brother or sister in the church. You might pray for the lost souls around you. You might pray for conviction to fall upon the sinner who is there partaking of his sin in your face. You might pray for the driver who just cut you off that you might get to meet him this side of glory and be able to share the gospel instead of the other message that often gets sent. That is something, those are prayers that just come. But there is a purpose in your life to pray. You have it set in your heart that I am determined to pray. If you want to become a praying person, how many of you are satisfied with the holiness of your life? Say nobody. Then we all need this. We need the purpose to pray. And we have some good examples in the Bible. Evening and morning and noon, in Psalm 55, verse 17, will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Daniel gives us another example. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Even in the midst of terrible circumstances, in the midst of potential persecution, he didn't change his plan to pray. You feed your body three times a day. We ask the Lord's blessing over the food. Do you just say, Lord, bless this food, amen? Or do you pray? Now, I recommend other times besides just at mealtime, but it's a good reminder that I can take this opportunity to pray. It used to be when my son was very young, when I would pray, we'd go ahead and start eating. Was it, Ronnie? If the food was still hot, he said, Daddy didn't pray long enough. The food's still hot. He thought that's why you prayed, to cool off the food. Now, we all have learned otherwise since then, including Ron. But there should be a sense of that, that our earnestness before God draws us towards Him no matter what we're doing, even in something so simple as eating. Our heart should be lifted towards God. Plan to pray. You may not take breaks in your workday. Moms, many of you, I know you don't take planned breaks in your workday. I would recommend to you that you plan to pray. There is no dish so important that it can't wait to pray. You don't have to pray for 3 hours, but stop and pray. It'll change your home. It'll change your attitude. That's how it'll change your home. This is not popular, but it is biblical. All-night prayer. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It has to be pretty important to your heart to get you to stay up all night. It has to be impossible to your own mind to change the situation for you to stay up all night and pray. Some of us here tonight have needs. We have needs in our life. We see needs in our family. We see needs in our church. We see needs in our community. How badly do we want to see those needs met? Jacob wrestled with God for a blessing as he was heading on his way to make peace with one who had reason to hate him. Is there strife in your life? Stay up all night and ask God about it. Is there a problem in your church? Someone take the place of Samuel. 1 Samuel 15. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. Do you think God is displeased with the leadership of his people? And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. We complain much about the state of the typical Protestant evangelical church in America. How much do we do about it? Or do we just complain enough, say enough spiritual sounding things that makes us look good in our own eyes? And let me tell you, as soon as you look good in your own eyes, you stink in God. It's no good to him. Will we pour out before the Lord instead of before men? Christ prayed all night. It came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Paul talked of watchings, which is all night prayer. He talked of fastings in prayer, denying himself. Not just sleep, but food. Not just food, but water. Not just food and water and sleep, but companionship. He denied himself everything but the Lord Jesus so that he might accomplish what he did in this world. Do you feel a lack of spiritual power in your life? Do you feel a lack of effectiveness in witnessing the gospel? Pray. Spend a night before God with your needs. Do you not know what to do with your life? Do you not know what direction you're to go? Wrestle with God until you get an answer. And as you pray, let me bring up something I think is missing. Or, let me rephrase that. Too often, not prominent enough. So you don't just feel like you're getting whipped. The psalmist wrote something that cannot be theologically described. You know what theology is? It is the breaking down of biblical spiritual truths into rational, logical thoughts that we can fit inside of our mind and explain empirically and scientifically. That's what theology does. It takes the unexplainable and explains it. But there is no answer in theology for the O factor. The O factor is what happens to us when we come before God. And we truly see him in all of his glory. When we truly behold him with the eyes of our heart, by the eyes of faith, and we behold his splendor, his glory, his wonder. When we see God as he is awesome. And that word awesome is beyond our descriptive ability. He overwhelms us by his presence. The outflow of his holiness is what drops us to our knees. The outpouring, the O factor, is what causes our heart to bow down and say, whatever you want. It is the O factor that says, I don't know, but you definitely do. It is the O factor that says, I can't, but you will. It is the O factor that will inspire you. It is the O factor that will draw you out of your bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and give you a joy in doing it. It is the O factor that caused Isaiah to say, woe is unto me, for I am undone. It's the O factor that caused David to say, against God and God alone have I sinned. When you and I would look at it and say, well, David, you sinned against Bathsheba. You sinned against the child that died. You sinned against Uriah. You sinned against Joab because you made him complicit. You sinned against all of the other soldiers that were drawn back from him while he was fighting. You even sinned against the soldiers that killed him because you set him up, David. You sinned against your kingdom because you were representing God and yet you fell flat. And what did David say? Against God and God only have I sinned. That's the O factor. And it needs restored in our hearts. Because at one time, I think every one of you had a glimpse of the O factor. You had a glimpse of God that way. And it moved you. When you saw him like that, you got up off of your knees and you had said, whatever you want, Lord. Wherever you'll send me, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. And somewhere you tripped. Well, tonight, if the O factor is what's been lost, just confess it to God. I've lost the O factor, Lord. And I'm coming before you and I'm asking you, show me yourself again. Let me see you. Pray Moses' bold prayer. I want to see you, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know your ways. I want to see your face. Sometimes God says no. In Exodus 33, see, that's an unwise prayer. No man can see my face and live. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. But you can ask. He said no to Moses. He might say yes to you and take you on home to glory because he can't live. That'd be an all right way to go, I think. The O factor is going to cause your prayer to change. Now listen, are you praying for someone to hear? Or are you speaking to someone who's there? There's a big, big difference. When you are praying corporately, are you praying for someone to hear? Or are you speaking to someone who's there? You don't need to be particularly discerning when you hear somebody's prayer to know if they're talking to the air or if they're talking to a person. There is never any doubt in your mind, brother, when I'm talking to you, you are sure that I am talking to you. It is clear that I am addressing you. Nobody else in the room has any question whether or not I'm addressing you. They can tell. My posture, my eye contact, everything about it says I'm talking to Tyler. Nobody here thought I was talking to Rebecca. Yet we talk to God as if we're talking around a corner. We speak to Him as if He can't hear. We pray in such a lack of faith that we don't expect Him to do anything, and then we wonder why He doesn't. We pray and pray and pray, knocking on the doors of heaven, hoping for revival, but it hasn't happened in 66 years, so it probably isn't going to happen, and this coldness just sets in the heart. Because they're not believing prayers. You're just talking to the air. Hey, they said we should pray for revival, so I'm going to pray for revival, won't we? Well, I need about 3 weeks. I had mentioned on Sunday, I'll mention again, where do we pray? We pray publicly, turn to Matthew 6, and we pray privately, like an iceberg, which is 8/9 below the surface of the water. Let your prayer life be balanced 8/9 in private and 1/9 in public. Matthew chapter 6. Closet prayer is scriptural. 6 verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I don't know how much a struggle that is for you ladies, but I know from talking to some of my brothers that it can be a struggle for my brothers to pray to God, to pray honest, heartfelt, open prayers to God, and not to impress another person. It may be like that for some of you. If you get the closet praying right, your public praying will be. I would even say, stop your busyness. Just stop your busyness. Stop doing good things for the Lord. Just stop. And sit before God for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks and say, what do you want me to do? And you sit until He tells you, I want you to do such and so. You get so used to the presence of God that you learn to respond to His voice anywhere, anytime, for anything. Some of us get just busy. And we're doing good things. But in doing something good, we're missing what God wants. And that's been the downfall of the church for 2,000 years. I dare say we'd be better off staying in the closet until we find out what His will is. Further on private prayer. You don't need to turn there, but in Acts chapter 10, it gives the account of Cornelius praying and the angel speaking to him, and he sends to Joppa looking for Peter. About noontime, it's just about lunchtime, Peter does what? He's there, he's in fellowship, they've got time together. He planned to pray, Peter did, and he went up to the roof. And I think at the middle of the day, his stomach was probably growling. But Peter chose to pray, and he was so intent in his private prayer that it says he fell into a trance. If he hadn't purposed to pray, would he have seen that vision that day? Brothers and sisters, do you have any other account of Peter getting a vision from God? Is there any other one listed in the Bible? Only one time. Let me ask you, if God were to show you a vision, if I could promise you right now, God is going to give you a vision from heaven. He is going to give you something that is going to change the course of your life and the life of those you meet. But if you want to get that vision, you've got to spend 3 hours a day in prayer. I don't know when it'll come. Would you do it? Some of us would. Some of us wouldn't. Do you suppose that was the last time Peter ever spent an hour before dinner, lunch, supper, whatever you call it, from wherever you are, in prayer? I think it was a regular practice. And because it was a regular practice, God knew. He knew. I can talk to Peter because he's talking to me right now. Can God say that about us? Well, let's look at some examples of public prayer, corporate prayer. And I'm not talking about standing on street corners to pray. I don't agree with that at all. Not scriptural. Preaching is different altogether. Acts chapter 1. And you're all familiar with these. We won't dwell over long on them. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Pretty impressive group of prayers. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Remember, Jesus said, if two of you agree as touching anything. I believe here, one of the things that they were in one accord about was the promise of Jesus Christ. The promise of Jesus was, tarry for me in Jerusalem, and you shall be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That was a lot of witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me. They agreed together. That's what Jesus said. I believe he's going to do it. We're going to sit here till he does. No argument. No one holding back in their heart saying, I don't know. There was no bickering there after the lot fell upon Matthias. There was no bickering with justice. He stayed there. The Holy Ghost fell. They were all anointed with power from on high. Can we pray? This is a challenge to us. Can we pray as a church with that same heart, in the same spirit of those that were in that upper room? They had no agenda. They didn't care who was first. They just wanted Jesus' word fulfilled. And in doing that, they just sat and waited. Will we do it? I think if we will, that the same thing that happened then will happen here. I don't know about tongues of fire coming from heaven. I don't know about a rushing mighty wind coming in, but I know we'll be endued with power from on high. He is waiting for a body to unite in one purpose for his purpose.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of his word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 4 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.